Okay, it's 2:00 on June 11th. This is the legal counsel update in the BCC conference room. In attendance is Commissioner DeYoung, Commissioner Fowler, and we might reach Commissioner Morgan on the phone. I'm waiting on a return text. So, let's look at draft ambulance contract. Amendment number one, item number one on our agenda.
Yep, okay, pursuant to the board's direction, we sent this proposed amendment. And again, it's I think everyone knew then, and we'll just remind now that an amendment is different from an extension. The underlying contract allows for 5-year extensions. So what we're doing is proposing to amend the underlying contract
to extend
for 1 year. That's exactly right, yes. In addition, AMR had sent us a request or a statement of need, if you will, for adjustment to their base rate. And so we got a little bit of clarification from AMR about specifically what they needed, but that would also be wrapped into this proposed amendment. We sent the amendment to AMR.
This was at their request, the rate change?
Yes, it was. Okay. Yes, it was at their request. And of course, that's pursuant to the provisions of the underlying agreement that already is in place. So, did all that, sent it to AMR on Friday, and AMR has met with, I think, certainly with Commissioner Morgan, and voiced opposition at this point to an extension. They also voiced opposition to me and to my staff to the proposal of extending for 1 year. I gather they just want a 5-year one, and that's the basis on which they want to operate. So I don't have the latest from them. Commissioner Morgan, I think, was planning to call in, and we're trying to...
She is.
They didn't want the 1-year amendment, but they were okay with the 5-year extension?
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Well, and I talked with Dave from AMR, and he said they wanted a much shorter extension while they worked on it, of like 90 days.
Well, that's new to me, so let's all compare notes.
Hey, Lily.
This is Lily. Hi.
You are now in the meeting.
Okay.
And
I just pulled up the agenda. I actually didn't realize some of these items were not a session topic.
Yep, so... I don't know what participation level you want, but for now, you're in the meeting. We were talking about item number one, the draft contract, and Wally was saying they were looking for a year extension. Right, we were looking for a year. And they were asking for 5. Dave Matthews came to my office earlier today and said he wanted like 90 days. Because the 1-year extension...
So before you go any further, why is this not an executive session topic? It was an executive session topic last time, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's when we exhausted the legal advice that surrounded the topic at that point. If you have further legal questions, we can push it over to another agenda.
I thought this was going to be on an executive session topic so we could talk about the parameters of... the negotiation, because usually negotiation isn't done in a public session.
Yeah, when there's legal advice being administered, that's the case, but I don't have anything left to say. I mean, we basically got to the point where, I mean, if you have legal questions you'd like us to look into and advise you on, we can certainly do that in executive session.
Okay, so where we left it off last week is they wanted to talk to me, that's why I met with them yesterday. And it was supposed to go on the agenda today so we could talk about that follow-up, but I thought it was executive session.
I think we're having that same conversation over and over, Commissioner. So if you want us to, if you don't want to talk about it today, then I guess it's up to the board.
Well, I mean, is negotiation done in public? I mean, that's
right.
The question. So
contract
if there's elements of the contract negotiation that's done in public, everything up till now, and any new information should have been brought in an executive session so we could have talked about that contract edits and that portion. So if the board thinks they should...
Uh-oh. Somebody went around a butte. Wonder how long she'll keep talking to herself.
In your legal estimation, do we need to have this in executive session or not?
Nope.
Okay.
Then again, I haven't heard what she's got to say in terms of...
Are you there?
Yeah. Sorry for the brief break.
Right. Anyhow, I don't know what the other board members want to do as far as if that's a public negotiation or talking about that
Well, and I'm with you, Lily. I thought that all contract negotiations were available for executive session, whether it was legal advice or just talking about the contract, so that those things don't become public until they've been discussed.
So that's what my understanding was as well, and I think it needs to be an executive discussion topic so we can be asking for that legal feedback on what our options are. So if you guys want to put it off to another day, we can do that.
Right, we can't put it on today's executive session, right, because it's not properly noticed.
You can do that. You can continue it.
Because it's on the same announcement, it could be?
Yeah, you can continue this item of the executive session portion. But okay. I haven't heard a basis yet. I mean, what is your basis? There's certain statutory bases for executive session. Why do you want it? Which one are you asking about? I mean, contract negotiation simply isn't a statutory basis for an executive session. We really don't do it all that often.
Sure it is. Any contract we do with any negotiating bargaining unit would be in executive session.
Exactly, due to a statutory...
Any contract we had with a roofing contractor at the fairgrounds was done in executive session. It doesn't seem that odd to me. Anyway, so I don't know how to back us out of this cul-de-sac, Lily.
I don't either.
If legal counsel, in my mind, this is Dan, if legal counsel says that it does not require executive session, I would say go right ahead with it. I don't see anything earth rattling in here, to be honest with you.
What happens if the board discusses something improperly in executive session is an investigation by the Ethics Commission.
That's what I mean. If we put something in executive session, if you go into executive, take it to executive session and it doesn't require it to be there, there's these backroom deals that you hear about all the time that we're trying to avoid. There isn't anything statutorily that makes us go into executive session because of this, anything that's in this amendment, number one. I'd say let's march on and get it over with.
Last thoughts? Yeah, Lily?
I mean, quite frankly, we asked for the extension if you want to have the conversation now. Otherwise, if we need to clarify, was the last conversation about the ASA contract in executive session or was it in public session?
I don't recall.
Oh, yeah, it was brought into executive session on the basis of a confidential memo, the contents of which I think were divulged and discussed pretty thoroughly by the board. You know, we went ahead and administered the legal advice that had been requested, and that's the basis for executive session. Contract negotiation just isn't there, except in terms of collective bargaining. The way contracts tend to get negotiated, therefore, is that the department heads do it, working in concert with the liaison. And then once it's all been negotiated, that's when it comes to the board. That's an option here, too. If the liaison
if you say that there's nothing protected, then I can outline what was basically the summary of yesterday. But essentially, you know, we worked on the ASA agreement for months in the EMS board, and in that process, the EMS board had made recommendations of amendments for the contract. And when it came time for the ASA plan to be done, and we asked for now the contract amendments, we were told we didn't have time to get those done before the June 30th extension. Even though they were known for the last 6 months plus, there was still not time to prepare the contract. And so we said, well, let's extend it for the amount of time it takes to get it done. And legal counsel asked for a year extension. So
the board asked for a year.
Well, the board asked for a year after legal counsel recommended that would be what was appropriate. And so the legal staff had said that if they could ask for the time, it'd be a year. So as far as options, AMR doesn't want to be extended for a year. They are willing to try to continue negotiating before the new contract is in play. But when the new contract is in play, they want a 5-year contract. And I don't believe that you sign the new contract for 5 years and then negotiate the changes, but you have to negotiate those before you change that. And I guess the other question is, we were led to believe we had to have a contract in place, thus extend the first one. What happens if June 30th comes and we have no new contract? Is there any ramifications or any change? Is there any...
Okay, that is legal advice. Yeah, now that, for example, is legal advice that would qualify for an executive session discussion. Do you recognize the difference?
I don't think that's the right question. The right question is, when we talked about the Gilling on the agenda today, it was supposed to go on an executive session so we could follow up with the questions that came up after yesterday. But there are several aspects. Can it be extended for a short time? Can it go without a contract? Can, you know, when is that? The whole point, though, was the recommendation of the EMS board was that amendments be made before a new contract be signed. So whatever avenue we have to get there to get those amendments negotiated. But unfortunately, you know, the next EMS board is a couple weeks out. So those are the questions that came out of yesterday that have to be answered.
Yep. So how do we move forward with those accommodations?
Should we go into executive session later on this afternoon?
I need to draft a memo. I think we aren't able to do that yet. So you have your statutorily...
Do we have to notice that, though, that we're going to...
You've already noticed it adequately. You can advance the topic to executive session if we have an adequate basis, which would be a confidential document, and legal memoranda are considered confidential documents. Mm-hmm. And that's how we talked about it within context of that legal memoranda last time. And we've covered that ground, though. So now that it sounds like a new legal question being asked, that would be the basis for a new memoranda that could be discussed within executive session.
So is there time to put it on today's, or does that mean next? Thursday.
How much do we want Leah to be sitting here today? Let's do it Thursday. Let's do it Thursday.
Lily, how about that? We move it to Thursday's executive session?
I would have to look at what Thursday's schedule is.
Right, we're all blind asking for it because it's not in front of any of us.
There's an admin workshop. At 9, if there's time to move it in there, I don't know. But otherwise, the afternoon, there's lipstick, and I have an LADPC meeting at 11:30.
When it's just end of the month sensitive, is it end of June?
What's that?
Is that our time?
It is. Yes, it is. So we have some time to work with.
Well, then I suggest we move forward with getting a memo from legal to answer some of your questions, Lily, and put it on a future executive session.
Sure.
The next one that's available.
Let's do it at the earliest. We're running out of June here.
Right. Well, we're a third of the way through. Okay, so let's move that one forward and look at item 2. Today, draft amendment to the county administrative policy B8, contract signing authority.
Right, so B8, as we recall, has the department heads signing for contracts up to $10,000, department head and liaison $10,001 to $50,000, and then BCC approval for $50,000 and above. All contracts must be reviewed by legal counsel. So that's our existing policy summed up in a nutshell. So what we did was I tried to basically capture existing practices here as much as possible with a couple of changes that I'll go ahead and highlight for the board. We'll get everybody caught up here. Mm-hmm. And let me make sure Commissioner Morgan.
I'm reading it. I also got an update from another department head on this.
Yep. Okay. So I did kind of hoist the flag at last week's department head meeting, and we took a few darts and rocks there, but that concern, their concern was accommodated here in the policy that's being offered to you. So policies would be adopted by board order. Of course, there's no decision that we've made on this today. Traditionally, the board has asked the department heads, after it's considered a draft of the policy, has been sent it out to the department heads for a week or two to formally collect their feedback, and so that's how I'd see if the board wants to do that following today's meeting, then that's how it seems playing out going
forward. So that, this does not reflect feedback?
Just informal, just but informal. Not the, from the department heads who happened to be gathered at that meeting last week.
Okay.
But you would be collecting
so
feedback from every department.
So you're anticipating more feedback,
yes,
before you give us the final draft?
Yes, yes, that's exactly right.
And
which would
when,
be,
when, how long are we going to wait for that?
2 weeks, tends
couple
to be
of weeks, 10 days?
Of, yeah, so we can
okay.
bring it back. So, okay, let's, and let's give everyone a chance. This is a good
you're
time.
Right.
To, okay, good, good.
Sure.
And all right, so Commissioner Morgan, are you set if I start getting into some of the particulars here?
I honestly am, I'm not sure. I guess we can go through the particulars. I'm having a hard time hearing you, Wally, as far as being close enough to the microphone to hear you.
Sure.
But one of the things that when this topic was brought up to us last time, there was a request from department heads to say, well, anything that's budgeted should be approved. And my concern with that is our budget doesn't go into line item detail of those projects. So we wouldn't know that it's in the budget for them to be approved. And unless we have a transparent budget, like Deschutes County has, where it's online and you can click on the total budget line, it goes to what projects go into that. You can go down and see what fills that number. If we don't have that, how would we know what things are budget approved? Anyhow, so I didn't know if that was addressed in this as well.
Sure. Yes, that concern was addressed following the last time we discussed this with the board, and so I didn't include that in this particular draft. And we
okay.
can, yeah, so, well, let's take it from the top, if you will, and then we have certainly a lot of staff in here that can, such as Arthur, that can talk about the budget, but the first thing I want to highlight is within the definitions section, a very important definition that we don't have yet written down in existing policy is that of contract. And so sometimes it does become an issue as to what exactly a contract is. And we've become very clear here now in this policy that contracts include intergovernmental agreements, which is a very important form of contract for a lot of our departments here. Agreements between the county and the state, for example. There's a lot of those. And so who has authority to do what? Traditionally, an intergovernmental agreement, we would be expecting only the government, the governing body, meaning the Board of Commissioners, would have authority to sign that. But that has not been real practical in the implementation. And so so we went ahead and included those within contracts. So you would have department heads now authorized formally, and again, there's some of this that's already occurring. I've been, frankly, looking the other way a little bit on some of it, but so you would be formally authorizing department heads to sign intergovernmental agreements without, well, just like any other contract. And so that's one of the changes
so,
that's being.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Where I remember this conversation was left off is this is one of the topics that was going to be weighted for the office manager and that we were going to have a subcommittee to talk about workflow. And this is one of those topics of what things go through workflow with legal. And I appreciate a recommendation to come to us, but I don't know that we have vetted all those issues yet. And I would almost still want to wait for us to talk about this policy until after we had our office manager in place that... I mean, we'd already talked about creating a subcommittee for workflow for this purpose and getting department head feedback. So I'm kind of surprised that we're seeing a draft to change the policy before that process.
I think we're all doing just going through definitions and policy guidelines. This is kind of a draft, but you're clarifying some of the stuff that you've...
Existing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a starting point.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
Well, and I think this all needs to be clarified. It could just be enforced by the future office manager. But
well, I mean, there was so many more pieces to this than just the policy and forms and other stuff. I mean, I have a list started on the whiteboard based on our last conversation. So I did not know this was going to be going before the managers on Monday and a draft policy recommendation to us. I thought our last conversation when this came up and we talked about this policy that we would enforce that it's still in place and that we would have a workflow committee that would talk about things and make a recommendation back.
Yeah, and now that you say it in that order, Lily, I agree. I think we were going to just enforce the existing policy and then talk about the future. So this might be a little premature. in that case. Your recollection, Dan?
Nope. I think that was, I was on vacation when most of this came up, I think.
Well, we did do a lot while you were gone.
Yes, you did. That didn't go unnoticed. You did really well.
So do we just want to table this for a bit then, Lily, and
I would
enforce our existing and let the take some input on this as well in the interim?
Well, I just think there's more topics that need to be talked about with this before we move forward with a policy change.
Well, if you want me to move on to item number three, I could do it right now.
Well, my concern is I thought I was being called in for the executive session part of this meeting. My other meeting still goes till 3 o'clock. And so...
We can call you back.
Let's see. I'm just looking at the other items on the agenda real quick.
I can do some hold music.
Maybe call me back before item seven.
Okay.
Are you sure we can get that far on our own?
All right. I will do it, Lily. I'll call you back.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. Well, I'm glad she was here for those two. Item three, easement of equitable servitudes agreement between Josephine County and Oregon DEQ for county real property at 714 Northwest A Street, the old hospital site.
Dimmick property.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have to get this agreement from DEQ. They had been under the impression that the building was going to be demolished. Then that turned out not to be necessarily what was in the picture. And so we clarified that with DEQ, and they sent back this particular equitable services agreement, which would be lining up with what the county is kind of presenting.
Do we just need from DEQ just a no further action? Is that what they're looking for?
Yeah, that's what they're referencing. Second paragraph.
Essentially.
Saying following the recording of the EES, the easement and equitable servitudes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
So they're saying there's just one more step after this?
Yes. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
They say there's this equitable easement and equitable servitude document is first, and then I will finalize the conditional no further action determination.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, so they're almost over the line.
Right, and for efficiency's sake, I think the intent was to just authorize the finance director to sign on behalf of the county, and it's done.
Put his neck out there, I like it.
Yeah, so that's what the document reflects.
All this to say that?
Okay.
You're a board
doctor. DEQ.
Arthur, he's quite the guy.
That's a medium-sized clip.
Well, I think we need to get this thing eligible to sell, and that no further action has got to be there.
Yes.
You know, if without it, we're still hanging out there, and that's just that degree of doubt. So how long would it take? We get this and close the EES and signed, notarized, and dated, and all that other stuff. How long are we talking before we get that NFA?
Well, DEQ has signed it already, so if you authorize the finance director to sign, then it's a...
Then it's done.
It's an executed
document. It
starts
moving? Okay.
Okay. Do you need a motion for that?
Yes.
Chairman? I make the motion that we authorize the finance director to sign the EES to return to the DEQ.
And I'll second that motion. Any further discussion?
Nope.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the motion carries 2-0. Item 3 is in Arthur's Court. Okay. Item 4 is a draft resolution in the matter of granting an exemption to competitive bidding requirements for the maintenance building at Grants Pass Airport.
This is the result of our conversation last week where we were going through the process to get an exemption from the bidding requirements for the airport. These are the findings that the board would find. These are draft findings. And this would be signed after a hearing. After hearing at public, we put this a session.
Okay. How far out is that?
We have no date yet. It could be next Wednesday or after.
A week from tomorrow?
Oh, but we have to publish 14 days ahead of time in the Daily Journal of Commerce. It'll be 14 days plus about 3 or 4 days.
Okay, so we're looking at
3 weeks from now.
July 17th? No, July 3rd?
3rd?
Yes.
Tomorrow's the 12th, so July 3rd, 14 plus 3?
Yes.
So you just want to move this to July 3rd?
Right, unless there's any further discussion or objection from you, Commissioner?
Comments? Not from me.
And we await your action.
Okay. Right. And we promise to do it 3 weeks from today.
And then we have
tomorrow.
Third, oh, and that's our only other requirement?
Is the third going to be a regular meeting?
I believe so.
Yeah, I'm seeing a reason why not.
Okay.
Oh, because you're thinking 4th of July weekend?
Well, Wendy's thinking.
Is she putting up the flags?
She's like,
am I going to be here?
Or should we postpone until the next week,
What's Monday? It said July 1 is red. Why is it red? Up there, I can't read that from
Canada
here.
Canada Day?
What is it?
Canada Day. Can you really read that? That was impressive. So.
Oh, it makes me like maple leaf come out in me.
I thought it said Canada Dry, but...
It's Canada Day with Canada in parentheses. You were really close.
So is there a problem with the 3rd?
That was impressive.
Anybody?
Dude.
Are you going to be here the 3rd?
Yes, I am.
I'll be here 3rd in the morning?
Yep.
That's a regular work day, I'm assuming, right?
I'll be here.
I've been in government 2 years.
I've already got a meeting that day. I'll be here, so.
Okay. All right, so let's schedule for then, unless it gets bumped.
And it's a 9 o'clock meeting.
So we'll move that forward to the weekly business session, the first one in July.
Yeah, we have to put the notice up, so.
Oh, we do need a motion. Okay, sorry.
No, I mean that. He said unless it gets bumped, but we have to send a notice.
So it won't get bumped once we notice.
Okay.
Nope, we're in. Me and Dan just committed to being here.
Okay.
Okay, 3rd.
All right. Okay. So is this next one similar when we're talking about?
Yes, the next one is the same except for instead of the maintenance building, it is the caretaker's
residence. Item 5 in our agenda today. So is that the same similar noticing requirements?
Same reasoning?
Yes, same thing, different building.
Okay.
I think we're going to try to do one notice, right?
Yeah, we're going to combine.
You want to do them both in one notice?
Little economy in motion?
Same meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
So we'll move that one to the 3rd.
Also.
WBS on 3rd. Whoa.
Excellent. That was item 5. Larry just ripping through them. Slow down, man. Item 6. Covenant and restriction acknowledgement of the Oregon State Marine Board funding for Lathrop Boat Ramp property.
Yes, so kind of a long, we're going to put this in the business session?
Well, I mean, normally we
would. Yes, I think so. Okay. Kind of a culmination of a long engagement, but essentially the Marine Board, here it is, so you can almost skip to this paragraph, which I can read from over here.
Summary.
And
smarty pants.
I can read it from
without here. Glasses.
The summary, that's correct. It says, Josephine County hereby acknowledges the project was funded by the Oregon State Marine Board for use as a recreational boating access. This is very important that we record that this is done. The use of the property is limited to that purpose for 50 years from the effective date of the IGA, which is March 7, 2019. So that's what's going on here.
Is limited, it's only limited to that purpose for being a boating access?
Yes.
Can, that covers that whole property. How big is that property? I mean, we own the chunk next door to it.
I doubt that chunk's recorded in here.
That
this is probably the
recorded
existing
here,
chunk
but,
of land.
Well, how
well,
big
it's
is
important
this
question,
is that,
so.
This is that land that we just purchased with funds from the OSP.
Right.
That is that land.
So this isn't just
This isn't just where the boat landing is.
Yes.
This is Lathrop Landing, but not the 7 acres next to Lathrop Landing.
That we just
is
purchased?
Here?
Nope. Oh, she is.
Do you know the answer to that?
Please come up, if you would. We were talking about the property at Lathrop Boat Landing. This contract extends for 50 years. The State Marine Board's permission.
The use of the property is limited to that purpose for 50 years. But it says Marine Board, it's the hereby acknowledge that the project was funded by Oregon State Marine Board and the use of recreational boating access. Is that just where Lathrop Landing is, and how does that look like?
As existing, or does it include the property we just purchased downstream?
This is for the property that we just purchased downstream.
Ah,
the other property is owned by the city. And so we're extending the whole thing. We now own a portion of it. We have a lease.
Gotcha.
On the city piece, what do we have on the city piece?
So this is like notifying them that we are adding the property.
What this does, the purpose of this document is because the Marine Board wanted their name recorded in conjunction with this piece of property so that in the future the county couldn't take it and do something different with it.
Oh, okay. But I need to know what the restrictions are limited to that purpose. What is recreational boating access? Read that last paragraph right there, Helen.
That is something.
Recreational boating access. Does that mean that we can't put, say, an RV park along there?
Could be.
Well, please.
Is that boating access if I have an RV park?
That would be a question for. So this piece, like, my recollection is that Beecher, in his negotiation with the Marine Board, that piece might be something that they wanted added.
Okay.
That's the only reason we're doing this.
How about this? So this is something that we have adequately noticed that it can get into an executive session on the basis of a real property transaction.
Okay.
Because it's one of those enumerated factors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can kind of advance this to the executive session portion of the agenda, and we can talk about the real property transaction unless you're legal question there.
I got some serious issues about this covenant and restriction. Why didn't they just buy it then? They want to have all the... we should maybe run to executive
session. Because we wanted, Sarah wanted to buy it.
Huh?
Sarah wanted to buy it. Sarah wanted to buy that piece of property in conjunction with the piece that we already
take care of.
Let me stop you guys for a sec.
Let's stop. Yeah.
Let's advance this to the executive session so that we can have a detailed conversation.
Probably before we get that to that point,
based on the recommendation from our legal counsel
that shows the two separate pieces of property.
I can help Wendy pull that up.
Okay, let's do that. I think that. Can we do this one today?
Yes. Yes, you've noticed it.
We'll move it to item E. We didn't move the other one, did we? We moved it to next week.
We did. Thursday.
Right. Or Thursday.
Thereabouts.
Not on this one.
This one, I just have some questions.
The memo doesn't exist. That's right. The difference. So we don't have the memo that would get us into executive session.
Gotcha.
That's the sound of that. But maybe it can be explained.
So that one just moved.
That one's going to be...
We're only 14 minutes later. Poor Lily. Include her back in the meeting.
Okay. We're on to 7 now.
Sorry.
It happened a little faster than we thought.
That's okay. All right. I'm trying to wrap up my other meetings. So.
Well, and Commissioner Morgan is back. We are on item 7, Grants Pass Fire Rescue District, page 75, item 7.
Okay, just a fast deal theoretically. So again, you'll see the timeline that we produced and provided previously. Where you see September 5th, 2019, District Board candidate. Can you hear me okay, Commissioner Morgan?
I can, thank you.
Yeah, certainly. District Board candidate deadline for filing with County Clerk had previously said TBD, and we've now identified that date as September 5th, 2019, and so this is now the updated timeline being presented to you.
So this is the timeline to get it on this year's ballot.
What?
For November.
November 19th.
Oh, yeah, and this is the timeline. And then there's one more item after everyone's had a chance to review the timeline.
Or November 5th, 2019, yep. Right?
That's election day.
Right. Okay with that.
So this looks like all BCC action. There's no task force formed, no public group. This is all by the will of the board.
Well, this is to comply with the statutes.
Right.
Wait, this is just the Grants Pass Fire District, right?
It is.
Yes.
Okay, we're not talking about any topic but the Grants Pass one.
Exclusively the Grants Pass Fire District.
Throughout the way, we'll be providing you with some more information.
Right, so whatever they want to fill in the timeline, this is the one we have to keep to.
That's correct.
Gotcha.
The additional matter here, the city has asked, so remember the law requires the city of Grants Pass to confer with the district forester, and the city has asked who from the county would be the designee. Whether it be theoretically Commissioner Morgan is who Jay had asked about, and so if that be the board's will, then she would be the official designee.
Yeah, which I think is fine.
The forestry department, the ODF.
Okay.
You okay with that, Lily?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Do we need a motion to that effect?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, let's just move it forward then. Item 8 is the second reading of Ordinance Number 2019-004, Truancy Ordinance, page 77.
Sounds like Commissioner Fowler saw this one play out in real time, the city
of Cave Junction,
as well as the city of Grants Pass, both granted consent, which is the term used by the statute, for jurisdiction to extend within their boundaries, and so the ordinance has been amended, there's proposed amendments that we will be able to highlight momentarily. And theoretically, you have a red line in front of you, which has blue, but that gets the job done. So I'll just let everyone pursue. Do you have that, Commissioner Morgan?
I do. I had concerns over one item on it, and that's the item number 9 that was added under the exceptions. The 9.30.040. The person I talked to on this one was Jim Goodwin, and he had said that the wording was going to be any minor who was out of school at the direction of their parent was the language that he was recommending. My concern with this one is that it specifically requires written notice to the school district by the parents, and in this day and age, if they call in and their kid's sick, if they email or some other form, I just don't want to limit the parent's ability to take away from what Jim's intent was to say. If they're out of school at the direction of the parents, does it have to be written notice? And what is written notice defined as in email technology and everything else of today?
Is email considered a written notice?
Yes.
Well, that's just what I want to make sure.
The text would be written.
It's still
everything but a phone call.
So yeah, a couple of issues. So items, and this is absolutely up for discussion. I totally get it. How we got into this language was the following two concerns. One, currently parents are prohibited from not sending their kids to school.
Correct.
You know what I mean? There's that citation that they can be issued, and so we wanted to keep this ordinance consistent with state law on that point. And two, there's the possibility that if the juvenile department engaged a youth on this point, then the youth and or the parent could pop up after the fact and say, well, he had my permission to be out of school. And I was like, where's the evidence of that? Right? And that makes the prosecution very difficult.
Right.
Because if the parent, like I say, pops up afterward.
Keep his kid out of trouble.
So my thought on that one is that the state law still is in place and the statute could still go after the parent in that case for keeping the kid out of school. This ordinance just focuses on working with the youth. And if the youth says, well, my parent didn't take me to school, it's still not on the youth's fault, per se. So it doesn't take away the statutory requirement of state law to still go after the parent.
You know, it would endorse parents not sending kids to school while I went away.
No, I hear you. But I'm saying that it's that the minor's not at fault. The parent can still be enforced through the state law. But I guess, let's see.
Well, I just wanted ORS 203-.4040 to be in there because it wasn't in the original one. And then, I don't mind number 9. I think it needs to be written myself.
But even calling the school that your kid is sick should be an excused absence. Or that you call and my kid's in the hospital, they're out for a week. I guess for me is it doesn't need to be the school district prior notice or whatever kind of thing. I guess I was just concerned about it having to be written notice. Right. One, what proof do we have that they provided a written notice? Because we don't have anything with the school district they would share that. But if this is the best route to get it there, then that's fine.
Right, we're not running around any school district policy by saying written. It seems like a phone call, the person that receives it would be writing that down, and now it becomes written. I don't know if that's compliant to this, but it's not like they're just going to take the phone call and hang up and not tell anyone that the person called in.
Yeah, my issue was with it being written notice. Because there's an ability for parents to notify the school district and other
people. Putting written in there encourages the parent to put it in writing. You know, think, oh, I called in and stuff, then that's a discretionary thing at who wants to believe them, in my mind. And if it says written, I mean, those are the rules. You write it out.
Whether it be text or email, then both parties have a record.
Right.
And not just the school having a record.
Not just a hearsay, because I could have my brother call in and say, this is Mr. DeYoung, and Dad's not going to be at school today.
Right?
But how do you know that? I want something in writing. Right. First off, I don't have a brother, so we've got to clarify that just to make sure
don't have to make a decision
my brother
today.
Isn't in the paper.
Right.
I don't have
kind of highlighting what the suggested amendments would be, and then of course there'll be the second hearing reading
and
discretion to take public comment. You
let's
probably
do that.
Want
let's,
to,
I say send it through just like this, and if we get any
feedback
criticism on it between first and second reading, we're not changing a whole bunch, and it would fall within our parameter to do that.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
I say move this forward to the first reading as written.
And it's scheduled for the 19th?
Wait, we're not having another first reading, right?
The second reading. It's the continuance of the second reading.
That was continued. And it doesn't require a second hearing because it's not enough changes?
Correct.
Oh, so yeah, we'll start over. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the way that's done is by reading the changes into the record. I can do that.
Okay.
At the reading. And then it's at the board's discretion as to whether to take further public comment. Maybe not a bad idea, I don't know, but it's at the board's discretion.
Okie doke.
Second reading is the
19th. All right,
it'll be on the 19th. That moves us on to item number 9, additional subjects or matters from commissioners. Anything from you, DeYoung?
No, thank you.
From you, Commissioner Morgan?
Not at this time. I should notify that the BCC requested legal counsel send a letter of objection on the NEPA report for the Briggs Valley area with U.S. Forest Service. They, in response, have invited all of the objectors to come to a meeting together on July 10th. And after I pointed out that we could not take part at a 9 a.m. session, they're starting it at 1 p.m. that day, and Councillor Hicks and myself will be attending.
Very good.
Coordination meeting, in theory.
In where?
It's actually in Medford.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
At least it's there.
Not in
somewhere
Kansas
north.
City, Missouri or someplace.
any additional subjects or matters from commissioners?
No.
Okay, then let me read through this disclaimer. Today is Tuesday, June 11th, 2019 at 2 p.m. It's a little later than that. The Josephine County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session at 2:45. Approved representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we'll return to open session and welcome the audience back in the room. Let me read through those agenda items. County real property at the IV Airport, Smoke Jumpers, Caretakers, Residence, ORS 192-6602E. Item 10B is a lease agreement with Love Abounds Asset Management, LLC, for county real property at the Fairgrounds, ORS 192-6602E. Item C is response to Pacific Corp's wildfire mitigation proposal, ORS 192-6602H. And item 10D is real property at 600 Tina Way, ORS 192-6602E. So this recorder will...
And item 6 will be advanced.
Oh, and item 6, you're right.
On the basis of 2E.
Is item 10E... would be from number 6 above, Covenant and Restriction Acknowledgement of Oregon State Marine Board Funding for Lathrop Boat Ramp Property.
And that's 192-6602E, which is a real property transaction.
Thank you, as stated by our legal counsel. Thank you for the addition. So let's turn off the recorder at 2:46. Executive session at exactly 4 o'clock, that's convenient. And item 10A, we're gonna inquire at the building department the status of the buildings on that land. Item 10B, we were going to send off some letters to the DEQ and to the project owner, TMB Racing, I believe. Or no, that's the Love Abounds.
Love Abounds.
Sorry, I don't want to get that one wrong. item 10C is our discussion will continue after we finish this summary of executive session topics. Item 10D, we just affirmed the status of the Tina Way property. Item E, we're going to consider at our next available executive session.
Yes.
So, back to item, which one are we discussing? Response to Pacific Corp. Right? That's the one we were going to discuss outside?
That's the one.
Yep. So here we are.
I would make a recommendation that Jason work with Sarah to develop a public statement, and we can run it by the board to see if it meets our requirement of getting a statement out to the community.
That sounds good to me.
Agreed.
Good, and so the board's next meeting, when is the board's next meeting? Is this business session tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Sound right?
Okay. That's at 5:30, yeah.
That's at 5:30? There's
in
nothing between now and then?
Oh,
yep. Nothing between now and then?
Yeah, they're touring Medford, so they'll be back about 11.
So you can continue this matter.
Do you have a meeting scheduled at 11?
No.
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 And I'm not available.
We couldn't notice it in time now, anyway.
She's not available until the business session. Okay. Is it critical that the board endorse whatever the staff comes up with, or are you willing to just have them launch?
You could have the chair review it.
Have the chair review it.
Let's have the chair review it.
There you go.
I can do that. I'm happy to do that. I just didn't know Jason should run it by you guys just so you can give your blessing.
We trust you. You got the breadth of knowledge on this subject, so. Sarah
okay,
has a word.
Then I will work with Sarah and Jason. Okay.
Could you come a little closer?
So my only comment is that Pacific Power was going to put out a press release last week, and the PUC actually requested that they not. So as long as everybody's aware that the PUC is who asked for it to not be public, and you still choose to do that, that's okay. I just wanted you to know that from what I understand, Pacific Power was ready to go public, and PUC asked not to until after they've had an opportunity to read the plan.
Okay, so my recommendation, I would be happy to get a hold of Letha with the commission, or Michael Grant, and he can get me in touch with her. Just let her know that we would like to, as a county, address that just kind of from our stance where we're at, we're not going to talk to what the plan is or anything else like that, so that they have the time to do that, so we can acknowledge what they're asking, but us still taking responsibility for our part. And I'd be happy to reach out to her and give her a heads up.
Yeah, that sounds appropriate, and above and beyond. But I think our obligation is to our citizens in our county.
Correct. And we're not going to not do it.
Yeah.
But to give her a heads up of what our messaging is going to be somewhat about.
Sure. Okay.
And it'd be as soon as possible is the timeline I think we're working with here, right?
Yeah. Before the deadline tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is what I'm thinking.
Well, I've made it to Ben. I'll come over and look up the phone numbers and call before I leave Ben.
Okay. All right. Well, that, I think, ends that discussion. And leaves us with just matters, or additional subjects or matters for commissioners. Do you have either? Commissioner Morgan?
So the question about cougars has come up again. And today at my meeting, there was a fire council member that happens to be an ODFW commission member. And more excitingly, he was a commissioner in another county for 12 years, so he understands where we're coming from. And I brought up some of the feedback we had received locally about ODFW and cougar response, and including email today that we received asking what our status is of hiring somebody, and I responded to the citizen, and she forwarded to me the local ODFW's response, which I have now forwarded to that commissioner at the state level. Because we're getting conflicting information, and so I know there's... I'd like to get clarification from the actual ODFW commissioner to see what ODFW's stance should be on cougars before we kind of go further. So I'm hoping he'll weigh in on that. So I wanted to give you guys a heads up. I responded to the citizen on that one.
Hey, Lily. This is Mike Weber.
Hello.
Just coincidentally, in the last few days, I've actually had a couple calls with a couple federal agencies. And they've expressed some interest in coming down and just meeting directly with you and the other commissioners in a public meeting to have kind of a broader conversation about both state and federal policy, just to make sure everybody's on the same page. I don't know if that's something you're interested in, but...
Well, I'm never opposed to having a meeting, but for state and federal agencies to say that the county has to do something we don't actually have to do, I have issue with. So
that is not the position that they stated over the phone.
Okay. So as long as, I mean, unfunded mandates is not something that I'm currently interested in, and having local board members or local staff members make policy that are not supportive by state law is also a concern. So I'm absolutely willing to get their perspective and have conversations with them, and I think the board would like to have that conversation, but it'd be nice to also get the feedback from ODFW commissioner.
Thank you. Yeah, Dan?
At some point in time, I want the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to acknowledge that they accept $18 per tag on a cougar as a game animal, with the money going towards game management. I can now buy two tags for $36. It's gotten to be such a problem. So that's $36 of my money going to game management. And then when somebody calls and said, we don't have any responsibility here. Yes, they do. And I suggested to OD, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, why don't you have a list of agreeable tag owners that would say, you know what, put my name on a list, and if you've got a problem cougar, I've got a tag, I'll come take care of it. Therefore, it's out of ODFW's hands. The landowner and the hunter work together. It's all done legally, and away you go. And they're not interested. I don't know if they're not interested in that, but they just said, gee, we don't know if we can do that. So there, when they decide that they don't have any responsibility in this thing, don't charge me $18 next time. It's game management.
Yeah, so that's what I was asking for clarification from the commission member. And he had a perspective similar to ours, and so it'd be great to get some feedback before we kind of go any further. But
I wouldn't mind having him sit down with the feds.
Yeah, Michael's left the room. He must have caught a phone call, but should we tell him to set that up?
Yeah, or we can follow up later and, I mean, get that set up through staff, yeah.
Okay. Anything else on additional subjects or matters for from commissioners?
I have a meeting at 4.
Oh, you're late.
Then I will say no.
Okay, and I'm out too. So with that, I will adjourn this meeting at 4:08.
Thank you.